You speak in the beginning about, you know, how this story really, really grabbed you, and you feel like you needed to do this book. Yes.
Right. I started the book really focusing on Mexican heroin traffickers, how drugs are trafficked. The DEA was saying they were seeing seizures increase at the border. I pretty early on collapsed onto one town in Mexico where everybody essentially came here and learned a system of selling heroin retail by the tenth of a gram or the gram, not very large doses, like pizza, selling it as in a pizza system. So basically, very similar to Pizza Larry. So you'd call a number and they would arrange for a driver to drive the dope over to wherever you were. And this was a remarkable innovation in the underworld. That is a moment when another story is playing out that I didn't know anything about. I didn't know anything about healthcare or pain management or anything. And they hit the time when a revolution in pain management is underway in American medicine. Massive promotion of narcotic pain pills, opioid painkillers, as the pretty much cure-all solution for everybody in large doses.
It's the perfect storm in many, many ways, and you're right. Able to get at that from a number of different angles, and you explore that through the eyes of, you know, these great characters that you've found as well.
Well, I found that in order to tell a story about a downer, depressing topic like heroin, nobody really wants to read about. You have to liven it. You have to give it a face. You have to make people part of the main focus of the story. And so I really spent a lot of time trying to find those stories.
Portsmouth, Ohio, a small town on the river, and the setting for Dreamland, a large, gigantic pool that is really a metaphor as you start the book. Why start there?
I started there because I thought that this was a story that was bigger than what I initially believed it to be, which is about drug marketing, drug trafficking, drug addiction. I have an entire book, and there's not one scene of someone shooting heroin into their vein. One reason for that is because it's a cliche. But also, I felt that the story was bigger than that. It was deeper than that. It was about community and how we have destroyed community in the country. And Dreamland Pool in the small town of Portsmouth, Ohio, on the Ohio River, was a perfect example of what we'd done. It was this gorgeous civic center, civic plaza of a pool. Everybody kind of grew up. Their first romances were there. And then the Rust Belt Syndrome sets in about 1980. A lot of factories leave. Main Street hollows out famously, as we've seen in so many towns. Walmart pretty much sucks up all that. Finally, population diminishes, and finally they couldn't continue with the swimming pool, and they dig it up and replace it with a strip mall. And with that, you know, the town loses something essential to its existence, I thought.
And here in Indiana, we're not immune, and we're actually right on the pipeline, as you point out.
The first place they come to is Columbus, and this would be in the late 90s, this one group of guys. Which is a remarkable thing to me. They were the first one to figure out and then systematically exploit the coming market for heroin that the widespread prescribing of pain pills represented, was going to create. And after that, they figure that out in Columbus, and they just follow the pills. They go to Nashville, and from Nashville, my reporting shows, from Nashville, this group expanded like a market, a territorial kind of thing, like any corporation or sales force would do. They come up to Indianapolis in the early to mid 2000s and begin selling here. And they've really been here ever since.
Thank you so much for coming in today.